The passage I've chosen for this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And this is what the Word of God says. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in will of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Paul, in these few verses, was giving us three more reasons to be engaged in mission work. The first reason, he said, we have to be diligent in sharing the gospel because it's God who gave us this charge. It's God who gave us this order to be involved in missions. You know, when we were young, I mean, our parents are the people of authority. We would probably say to our siblings, Dad asked you to do this, or Mom asked you to do this. And they would do it because our parents are people with authority. Now, when we go to school, then probably the teachers are more important. Mrs. Visser asked you to do this. You better do it, right? You'll do it. And when we work in the society, of course, we'll hear the words of our boss, our supervisors, and we will hear it diligently. We'll do it because they are the people in charge. They are the people in authority. Just imagine, say, for example, after you get out of the church day, when you get into the car on the radio, it says, President Obama is going to have a news conference tonight at 9 o'clock. Well, whether you agree with what he's going to say or not, you probably would listen to it because it's a special news conference from our president, a person that's important to us, important to our life. What he said is going to impact us. So just imagine, Paul says, just imagine, this is our God. Not just our parents, not just our teachers, not just our mayor, not just our president. This is the God of heaven and earth. This is a God who gives us our lives, our family, our church, our work. And he was telling us, what did he say? In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. This God, the same God, gave us this mission when his son was about to leave this earth. In Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, all the nations. This is what he told us. This is what we have to do. And we have to make sure we'll do it because, as Paul says, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, this God who gave us this charge, is going to come back again. And we have to give an account of our lives to him, each one of us. We have to tell him whether we have been faithful to this charge of mission and evangelism. Do we want to be called a faithful servant, or do we want to be called a lazy and wicked servant? We better make sure, Paul said, who is giving us this charge? But I think there's a second reason. The second reason why we should be involved in mission is because it's a matter of life and death. Who will judge the living and the dead? God is telling us to share the gospel, to work for the salvation of souls. Sharing the gospel is not something that we do at our leisure. Sharing the gospel is not just an option that we have. Sharing the gospel is not just a side job that we have. God said, this is important. Paul said, this is important to our life because it concerns life and death. Actually, it concerns more than life and death. It's about eternal life and eternal death. A few years ago, I read in the news, a surgeon in Australia, I think he was his license was revoked because they found out that during an operation, a surgery, he went outside, used his cell phone to call the car dealer to get a lower price on his Mercedes Benz. And then, not too long ago, those of you who know about Chicago, a lot of funny things happen in Chicago, you know. There were several firefighters in the fire department. I don't remember the precinct, but they were suspended because they used their fire engine to give joy rides to their girlfriends. This only happened in Chicago. It won't happen in Kalamazoo, I promise you. Why they were punished so severely, suspended? I mean, this was license revoked. Because they are not dealing with easy things. They are dealing with, we expect a surgeon. I have surgery at SC, as I said. If my surgeon was doing that, I would be pretty angry, you know? He's cutting me open, you know? And he was calling his car dealer about a few hundred dollars on this, I don't know, the exchange rate between Australian dollars, but about his car. And these people are supposed to, when there's a fire, they're supposed to get there and get the fire out. And they were giving joy rides to their girlfriends. But what we are doing here is more important than the firefighters. What we are doing here is more important than the surgeons. Sometimes we don't think about that, but we are dealing with eternity here when sharing the gospel. Of course, we all love that Bible verse. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We all love that. Who would not love that verse? But we always stop there. 3:16, that's it. Because we are very, clever people. We just choose parts of the Bible that we like and parts of the Bible we don't like, then we probably don't see it, don't read it, don't hear it. Because if we go on, if we look into John, Gospel of John 3:18, it says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. That's good. That's what 3:16 says. But whoever does not believe stand condemned already. You know, when we talk about heaven and earth, when we talk about salvation, we have to remember, we just can't choose what we want. If we believe there is a reward for good deeds, we have to believe there is punishment for sin. If we believe there is a heaven, we have to believe there is a hell too. We can't just choose one and the other. And there's no excuse for us to not tell people that they are moving daily to eternal damnation if they don't believe in the gospel. As I mentioned, I traveled to China many times. And of course, right now, China is much better situation than when I started the ministry 19 years ago. But there are still people who are being persecuted for their faith. And there are people who have been persecuted in the past. And whenever I talk to people who have a tough life because of their religion because of what they believe in, or just because they receive a Bible, or just because they get some literature, or just because they gather in a fellowship, or just listen to a back to God ministry message. I wonder to myself, are we doing more harm to them? And whenever I pose that question, the answer is always 100%. No. You have to continue. Because there's so many more people who have not heard about the gospel. Because there are still millions of people who have not heard about the gospel. Because there are still millions of people who have not have correct teaching. You still have to continue the ministry. Even though it may cause some trouble in a very small minority of people. How dare we stop people from hearing the gospel? How dare we cut people off from salvation? Paul says, no, it's a matter of eternal life and eternal death. So we better be careful. And I think there is a third reason that Paul says that we have to be eager in sharing the gospel, because in verse 2, Paul says, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, with great patience and careful instruction, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. They want to hear something new. They want to hear something that suits their desires. They don't want to hear the old gospel, but there's still the gospel that's in the Bible. They want to hear something funny, something entertaining. But Paul says, don't do that. Don't ever dare to do something like that. I was in China. I just want to start with this incident. I was in China, that was about 2 years ago, in a famous city in China called Lancheng. Now, it's not as famous as Beijing or Shanghai, those cities. So Lancheng is famous because that's where the revolution starts. The communist revolution started. So it's called the cradle of communism in China. It's not a huge city. It's not a prosperous city. It's a poor city, actually. But it's important historically. Now, when I was there, it's 2 years ago, I was walking along one of the main streets in that city, and I saw a table about probably half the size of the communion table we have over here. And there was a line of about 10 to 20 people in front of the table. Well, I don't know maybe it's a government thing, so I want to know what's happening to my listeners and what they are encountering in their daily lives. And when I come closer to the table, I saw an old man sitting behind the table. This old man was wearing dark glasses. Presumably, he's a blind person. And he was shaking something in his hand, something like this. And this long line of people was waiting patiently. There were old people, there were young people, there were people who seemed to be poor, there were people who are well-dressed, there were people who seemed to be educated, there were people who don't know too much, but they were all waiting patiently for this guy. And after a while, he opened his hand. And then I saw he has a turtle shell in his hand. Now, you may wonder, what is a turtle shell? This is a traditional way of fortune telling in China. They use a turtle shell to tell your fortune. Now, you know, this is 2 years ago, 2007. China nowadays have about 250 million internet users. China today, half of the population would have something we call a cell phone, because it's faster to use this, cheaper to use this than use the landline in China. But with all this technology, you'll be wondering, people would still believe that their fortune lies on the shell of a dead turtle? I mean, isn't that very stupid? But that's superstition. That's remaining in people's heart. There's always something out there. No, it's not just in China. I want to tell you, in our English ministry, in the past few years, one of the most popular programs, I don't know, some of you may have heard it, I don't know if it's on air in Kalamazoo, is about witchcraft. Witchcraft in America? But this is one program that generates a lot of response. People are sharing the experience. People are asking questions. Because, just like our church father, one of our church fathers, St. Augustine, said, we are all created in the image of God. And there's no peace in us until we find rest in our Creator. It's almost just like what the prophet Amos said in the book of, in his book, chapter 8. He said, there will be a famine on this earth. Not a famine for food, not a thirst for water, but a famine for the word of God. And they will never find it because they are looking in the wrong direction. And we need to point them out in the right direction. We will need to tell them, it's the old gospel. It's the only gospel. And it will be the gospel they depend on if they want to go to heaven. I want to end with a very exciting part of the ministry that I didn't share in the first part, in the beginning. You know, Paul mentioned that there's all a lot of problems that we may have in sharing the gospel. People are not listening. They have itching ears. But Paul's advice is, but you keep your head in all situations, endure the hardship, discharge all the duties. We have to endure because our God is the one that can open doors for us that we can never imagine. He can do things much greater than we can ever imagine. I want to end with this story. It's not a story, it's a true thing. No. Some of you have known that we conduct tours for our donors. People are supporting the Back to God ministry. Sometimes they want to go to Russia. Some of you may be on those tours to see what's happening in Russia. Some of them want to go to China with us to see how our ministry is affecting people in China. So we have several tours in China already. And in all these tours to China, always before we actually go into China, I usually give them a package of things. Including something like this, some CDs, and then also a Today. This is a Today in English and Chinese, a bilingual Today. The English is the one that you have, the Chinese is the one that we translate. I always give each member of the tour group a package, including, and I ask them, I encourage them to pray about it and see how the Spirit leads you to share some of this material, give it to someone, maybe to a non-believer, or maybe to a Christian to help them draw closer to God. Now, we never know which tour it was, we never know which person it was, we never know how it actually happened, but somehow, this booklet got into the hands of a big church in China. Got into the hands of an important person. So a few weeks ago, I got an email from the person in charge of the literature ministry of this church in China asking for permission to print the Today on the church bulletin. Now, of course, it's not every day. It's only one day per week, right? It's not 7 days. It's only the Sunday. One day per week. They asked for permission for them to choose out of the 7 days, one day to put on the church bulletin. and have our name on it. Not the back to God name, not the today name. It's actually today name, but in Chinese it's called 每日真言. That's actually today's proverb. So it's something similar. The name is there because it sent us the copy beforehand, the bulletin. This church is a big church. He has 4 services each Sunday. Over 3,000 people in the congregation. That's on the lame list. And if you go there late or even close to 10 minutes before church, you have to probably be standing in the parking lot to watch the service on closed-circuit TV on the LCD monitor. That's the church. So with one drop-off, with one little act that we never think is important, just send someone. We increase our listenership or our audience by 3,000. But actually, it's more than 3,000, you know. I communicate with him several times. I think it's a him. And he said, actually, we print more than 3,000. We print more than just for. We print, well, we usually print bulletins for our church, just the same, about the same number, right? But this is a famous church, one of the more historical church. So he said, we print 10,000 copies. And we send them to other people who request it, who have been visited this church. It's like a pilgrimage or whatever. So they ask for bulletins. So we still. So just one simple act to be used by God, and we suddenly increase 10,000 people who read out today. Okay, it's not every day, but it's needs. Once per week. And if they search our name, well, there's some, you know, bumps. We ask them, can we put our website on it? They said, no, we don't put any other people's website except our own church websites. Okay. But if they search our name on the internet, Google, they will find our website. They will find our website eventually. They will find our bilingual today website too. They can read it every day if they have access in there. So just imagine. It is coming out of nowhere. We never planned those things. And those people who are on tour, we thought that they may feel excited about the ministry, but they never imagined they could do something like this. You'll probably hear this in the news because it just happened. We just started giving this idea out. But God can do amazing things if we are willing, if we are submissive. And I think that's what Paul is telling us. Endure the hardship. Do the work. And eventually, we will see the fruits coming out. Plentiful. 100 times. 500 times. Let's go to our God in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you on this beautiful Sunday morning, reminding us of your love. It's like the sunshine that's falling on us, giving us warmth, giving us direction. And we just pray for your love on the people of China. There's so many of them who have not heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just ask that you bless the Back to God ministry, the Chinese ministry in China. And we also bless all the other outreach ministry that are reaching out to the Chinese people around the world, so that many more may come to a saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We also want to pray for other mission works we are supporting by this church and our denomination around the world, in Russia, in Africa. But we also are reminded that each one of us can be your ambassadors. We can reach out to people right here in Kalamazoo. So we ask that you use all our local outreach ministry, and use each one of us here to reach out to our neighbors, to our classmates, to our colleagues at work, so that your name may be glorified. We thank you for the time that we can have to meditate on your word this morning. We ask that you bless it and apply it to each one of us individually. We pray all this in your Son Jesus' precious name.